you're here. Fellowship's real. Knowing you're near.
Magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, July 11th, 2017. All prayed up and ready to go, Marianne?
Yes.
You think so?
Yes, I think so. But when you said July 11th, I kind of gasped. I'm like, oh no, this can't be happening to July.
Yeah, it is zipping right along, and I was thinking as we prayed up, I wanted to alert our listeners. We've prayed for you already today. We prayed that the things that are said and shared and referred to or referenced might answer a question or maybe resolve something you're pondering in your brain or confused about, or maybe it'll be a word of encouragement. I just want you to know you've been prayed up.
Yeah, we did.
So a couple things I want to reference and point out and talk about. And then I also want to mention, were your ears ringing on Sunday?
No.
Oh, well, they should have been.
But that's kind of worrisome that you said that.
In fact, with the English Conversation Group, when I said, were your ears ringing, and they look at me and I have to define everything
funny.
And say, well, when Americans, I don't know if people around the world will say that, if your ears were ringing, you were being talked about or we were referencing you. And usually it's positive because you don't bring it up if you were gossiping.
Right. Well, we're not going to tell you why. But.
Yeah. But your ears might have been ringing during Sunday school time. I'm doing a little series on Israel and using a video series and then commenting. And I've built a Sunday school lesson. I think it's 6 weeks. But anyways, let's talk about God sightings. And did anyone have any as like our icebreaker time? And Janelle, I don't know if you remember, she works in the courthouse right near us here
I
at Lincoln Square.
Yeah.
She purchased one of your books a few weeks ago. And I'm referencing that because today, if you stay with us, you're going to hear some readings, or at least a reading from Memories of an African Son. But she was very blessed by the devotional reading the night before that weekend that she had read from your book. And so I thought, we see her. She comes by, has lunch here at the food court every so often. And
Thank you. Some of you might
remember, I don't know, this might have been 15, 20 years ago, many years ago. I can't remember what the circumstances were. Maybe she was volunteering or I had to drop off some material. I don't think I needed information on like a court case I was a part of or something. I can't remember, like advice or counsel. But for some reason, I was going by her office. And as I stepped up into her office at the courthouse, you know, near next door here, she was leading somebody to Christ, basically in the process of the sinner's prayer, and the person was coming to Christ right there in the office.
For real?
Yeah, it was awesome.
Oh,
and so
wow.
She was just finishing up, and then I kind of got to celebrate with this new believer
and my goodness.
Witness what was going on. And Janelle's one of those special ones that sees her environment, her workplace as her mission field. And
that's thrilling.
So anyways, I think over the years I've shared that a time or two, but that's one of those pressing concepts that I learned many years ago about Christians in the workplace. You know, use that as the environment where you press kingdom influence, power, and authority where you're at.
You have a book about that, don't you?
Yeah, well, it was that whole marketplace. I think it was 1988 or something. It was a life-changing conference. Don't get me on that whole tangent, but anyways.
Oh, yeah, okay,
it's
that, I won't. But
whatever
you
do,
it.
Work at it, with all your heart is working for the Lord, not for men. And Colossians 3:23. But anyways, so Janelle was very blessed by your book, which we'll be reading later today. Let me also mention tonight, now realizing that this morning's program re-airs tonight at 7:32 p.m., it'll be too late, but there is the special visitation for Norman DeGraff. He sang with the Singing Men for many years and oftentimes would come in with a new favorite verse or a passage or a whole section of scripture, maybe a chapter that he memorized and wanted to share it with all the guys. But it was a shock to everyone last week when they announced that he was found to have pancreatic cancer, and that was earlier in June. But by the time they began to treat it and figure out all that, his kidneys started failing, and they knew, I think I mentioned on Friday's program, that they said that, you know, any day, maybe it was Wednesday's program, and he only had a few days to live. But Friday night, he had his home going, and so he's with the Lord. And tonight, from 5 to 7 p.m. at the Lux Memorial Chapel in Rantoul, there'll be a visitation from 5 to 7. And then a month from now, on Saturday, August 19th at 2 p.m., there'll be a celebration of life service, and that'll be where we'll, you know, remember the unique testimony he had in our hearts and how he finished well and celebrate his life and celebrate that he has a home going and eternity to spend with the Lord. And that'll be at the Bellflower United Methodist Church in Bellflower. And we sang at that church, I don't know if it was this year, last year.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, Norman DeGraff is now in glory with the Lord.
Mm.
And so tonight from 5 to 7 p.m., there'll be a visitation at the Lux Memorial Chapel in Rantoul. And in fact, a week after his celebration of life service, that's Saturday, August 19th. But the next week, on Saturday, August 26th, is when we're going to take a group of the singing men up to the Pacific Guard Mission and do the tour, see the Unshackled presented, and then the singing men will participate in the worship service. And we're taking a busload up, and we'll also include a number of our listeners. Now, all of our recent bus trips, I think the last six different trips, they all filled up within a few weeks.
Yeah, they did.
So if you're interested at all, call the station, and we'll see how many seats we have available on that motor coach that'll be filled mostly with singing men.
Mm-hmm.
But that'll be on Saturday, August 26th. We'll probably leave Marketplace Mall around noon, and it'll be a full day heading up to Chicago for a tour of the Pacific Guard Mission. Then we'll see the Unshackled presented. That's always a fun live performance. Then we'll have dinner, and then there'll be like an hour and a half service with the preaching of God's Word, and then the singing men participating in the worship service.
So do you guys, as you drive up and drive back, do you sing?
No.
Oh.
Usually we have a video going, or we tell jokes or relax, or it varies on the group.
Yeah.
So,
well, I have to say that you're talking about Marketplace Mall meeting there and the bus leaving. It was last Christmas when the singing men were singing at Marketplace and the theater troupe was there, that for some reason afterwards people were milling about and sitting, drinking coffee or whatever, and I ended up sitting with Norm and had a great conversation.
Yeah.
He is the blessing that conversation was to me.
Yeah.
I just, wow.
He finished well. It was a shock for everyone how fast, because he had just gone through some surgeries and rehab, and he had testified to the singing men just a couple months ago. We're currently on break. And then he sang with us last month or a month and a half, 2 months ago, I guess, at this point, in Monticello. And he wasn't at the Ivan Parker concert, the recent concert a few weeks ago, because of either traveling or maybe this health issue.
Mm-hmm.
But we fully expected him to be joining us in Chicago for this Pacific Guard Mission Tour, and always had a scripture verse or a testimony, and he'd get animated. He and I connected very well together when it came to, he gets so excited about something that
he'd
share.
Well, you never get excited,
Yeah,
Mark.
So, and he sat behind me many times. In fact, I cued off of his voice or his pitch many times. Then he downgraded to the bass section. He wanted to be a part of the basses, so I think he started singing the basses the last half year or so.
Wow.
Well, that's part of the reason for the nice celebration, like a month from now, is to share some of those great things we fondly remember about Norm and the influence he had or the impact he had on many of our lives and how he finished well. It's nice to know after talking with his daughter that even in the closing days, he knew God was in control.
Oh, what a blessing.
And he was at peace. And so,
bless you, Norm.
Yeah, amen. Also mention for our listeners, a practical way for them to get involved or to help is we're going to have a two-week break for our English conversation classes.
We are. Coming right up.
And then we'll start up again on August 3rd. We're going to just be meeting on Thursdays, and it'll be from 10 to noon. And so if there's any of you that want to be helpers with our English conversation classes, we have about 12 different groups, with you with the advanced group. And then we have, let's see, seven intermediate groups, and I think three beginner groups.
And our roaming beginner class.
Yes. We're currently, thank you, God, using the old art mark. Those of you that know Lincoln Square. As of yesterday, first class met in the old art mark. Thank you, God, for Lincoln Square and Jim and the team that's allowed us to begin meeting there.
I think it's great that we chose to move the beginners around, the ones that barely
Yeah, yeah, they were kind of walking around. Then where did the children go now?
Well, there's
so
many of them. Yeah. It has to be them.
Yeah, we're close to, anyway, we usually average anywhere from about 50 to 70 internationals on our Monday and Thursdays, but we're going to consolidate it a little and offer the class for 2 hours once a week, and that'll be on Thursdays. So if you're interested at all in being a helper beginning August 3rd, even if you can't help for 2 hours, if you can help for one of the 2 hours, we can work that out too.
And we will take a break in the middle of those 2 hours.
Yes.
That's important to say to people.
Yes, yeah, there will be a break, and it's just a six-week commitment, so six Thursdays. If you can help, we could use you, and it'll be a lot of fun. Just give the station a call, 217-367-7777, or stop by our website, greatnewsradio.org, and under the About tab, scroll down, you'll see English conversation classes, and there's a little WooFoo form that you can fill out your information, your email address, and we can get in touch with you. But it's a six-week commitment beginning Thursday, August 3rd, right here at Lincoln Square, somewhere at Lincoln Square.
Somewhere.
Who knows? By
Lincoln
then,
Square.
We might put you into another room or something. I'm working with the church next door here, too, see if that's another
option.
Oh,
you're working with everybody.
Yeah, that's right.
So did you make up this word WooFoo, or is that really the...
No, that's... Yeah,
I mean,
no.
That's so weird.
Yeah. No, it's WooFoo Forms.
Oh,
yeah.
Really?
WUFOO.
Is that some other language?
No, that's just WooFoo Forms. In fact, Jason introduced it to me. Their church did a lot of sign-ups and surveys, and the WooFoo system, it's really great because when you print out everything, like we have it for our English conversation classes, like the leaders, but we also have it for the Great News Radio Theater Troupe for people to sign up for that, and then for the Pacific Guard mission trip or any of those Ivan Parker tickets, WooFoo can not only take all the information, but if there's a cost or something, you can pay for it right there online or send in a check. And then if I print it out, it all formats perfectly to a piece of paper.
Perfectly. Huh?
Yeah, so it's very nice. And then you hole punch it, and then you can have documentation orderly in a file folder.
Well, can we just give a big shout out to Karen Harrison right now, who is your back-end person for all these WooFoo forms and so forth, and calls and letters. And
that's right. Call Karen and tell her thank you today.
Call Karen. Tell her about it. No.
Give her more work today. Just call her up.
I love Karen, by the way. I love her.
Yeah,
I love that
keeper.
Girl.
Yeah, she's a keeper.
Yes, she is.
And she's probably right around...
She's probably listening right now with red face.
Yeah. Attentive ears. Well, I think it's got to be getting very close to 20 years for her.
Oh, wow.
I mean, somewhere in here. Yeah, I was speaking with someone the other day, actually on Sunday, about them taking a sabbatical. And I thought, 20 years,
haven't
taken a sabbatical. Oh, no, I'm talking about me.
You're thinking of yourself.
Yeah. 20 years. Some people take 6 months
Mark,
off
you
or
cannot
a year.
Take a year off. We're barely in this place. We're still
thinking,
trying to get organized.
Sabbatical. I could use some rest.
I can't believe this came up. No.
Yeah, no, not for Karen. Karen, you got to keep working her hard. She deserves a sabbatical, too.
And we need to really rewind this conversation. You're not going anywhere.
So, your book, now I know we talked briefly, you had kind of a really fun chapter, but then we thought in light of Norm's homegoing that maybe there'd be something else that would apply or be applicable or be a better choice. And you said there was one, was it where you got illness or sickness or what's the chapter called?
Sickness.
Okay.
You had it right.
I don't know if we should be laughing about sickness.
Yeah, some people, when they get really sick, they still can kind of keep their sense of humor. I'm not good at that. But
oh, I think you're probably better than you think.
Oh, thank you. All right, shall we read?
Let's.
This is chapter 34. It's called Sickness, and we had left the bush country of Zimbabwe and come to West Africa.
And when you say we?
My mother, father, and me. Okay. My brothers were still in America. So we were living right on the ocean, very close to the ocean. I was 11 years old when we moved from Zimbabwe to West Africa. And the first thing that happened to me was that I contracted one of the dreaded diseases, malaria. Although I had been given quinine for years, I had been in West Africa for only 3 weeks before it got me. We had no house of our own yet, so I lay in bed upstairs on the second floor of the house the Wycliffe translators had rented to house their staff, and which they kindly allowed us to use while we found our bearings. The house had a yard that was magnificent. There was a beautiful rock garden with a small pool and sparkling, tumbling waterfalls. Tropical fish swam in the pool, and flowering vines climbed the walls. A long, twisting outdoor staircase started in the garden and made its way to the second floor, where we were staying. All around the waterfalls and gorgeous gardens grew mango, avocado, pear, and orange trees, and banana plants. I really have never seen anything quite like it, before or since. Its one significant drawback was that it was also appealing to poisonous green mambas. For all this fascinating outdoor drama, the house itself was quite plain inside, except for one beautiful marble floor in the main room. Fairly often, the water faucets simply wouldn't work, and there was no water, and no one seemed able to fix the problem. I have no memory of the days after I succumbed to malaria. I was delirious, feverish, and tossing violently, my mother says. My first memory came as I awoke one morning, at long last, the bed fever-soaked, and felt the hot West African sun in my eyes and heard voices through the nearby window from the yard below. My mother came in, relief written all over her face, to see me awake and in sound mind. For the first time in days, I could actually see her face and feel the concern in the room around me. Our new city was situated 5 degrees off the equator, and though the fever had finally left my body, the heat around me went on unabated. Air conditioners and such things were a luxury, from a time not yet come for us. Difficult as it was, my brush with serious illness is mild, compared to what many around the world today are facing. We live in a time of much sickness. In Western countries, there appears to be an epidemic of cancer and heart disease. AIDS and other autoimmune diseases are ravaging the continent of Africa. And, as any mental health professional would attest, many people are facing depression and deep emotional distress. My mother loved to read the poems of Helen Steiner Rice. I was much older than 11 before I had that appreciation. Mm-hmm. But there is a line from one of Mrs. Steiner Rice's poems that deeply affects me. Where can we find the hand that will dry the tears that the heart is crying? How can we be the hand that reaches out to those around us who are struggling with so many difficult illnesses and situations of whatever kind? There is so much that can be done to help people. Spending time with them, watching their children, giving them rides to various places. The knowledge that we are not alone, that we're cared for and loved, makes all the difference. We have to simply reach out our hands, let go of judgment, and just help. Malaria, it turns out, stays in the bloodstream for about 40 years. I certainly did not know that so long ago, lying in my feverishly hot state in the house of the Wycliffe translators. There's nothing you can do about it. I have not been able to donate blood for most of my adult life. And then, at long last, it was finally gone. You see, some things, some illnesses, some hurts take a long time to fully recover from. That's just how it is. You simply can't rush them. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall be shown mercy, Jesus said, as recorded in Matthew 5:7. So reach out your hand. Have mercy. Dry the tears that someone's heart may still be crying. Father, let me not judge the length of time it takes for anyone to overcome their hurt, but help me to encourage and believe for the best for them and not get lost with them in their pain. Let me believe for them that this too shall pass, and to not let go of my own faith as I walk with them through a troubled time. Show me how to impart your hope and love, and help me too to always hold on to my faith through any troubled time. In Jesus' name, who suffered but was also filled with joy.
When you were talking about reaching out, I was thinking reaching out and donating blood. I was like,
then I said I couldn't. Yeah, that was nice.
40 years.
Yeah, they told me 50 when I first found. I was, I had this biology class when I got back to America later in high school, in one of my many high schools. Anyway, and the teacher was so taken with my blood. You know, we all had to look at our blood under the microscope. She's like, I have to get somebody to look at this. And I'm like, oh, Lord, what is going on? And so she had somebody come in. I go, that's malaria.
They could see that right in your blood sample.
And so then they told me that there's no way you can donate blood for life. But it turned out to be 40 years now, they say.
Jeez. Okay. Well, I won't put you down as a donor for me.
Nobody's going to be asking me. It is gone now.
Well, very nice.
And thank you.
When you started reading that and you were picturing how beautiful everything was, I was thinking, did you notice all that as you were laying in bed? Or that's just how it was?
That's just
how
it was.
The beginning of the story.
It was that was the house of the Wycliffe translators. They had all lived there, some single people, some married people. And we were some of the first missionaries, Christian missionaries from our churches that came into Ghana.
And what was that poisonous thing?
The mamba. That's one of the most poisonous snakes in the world.
The poisonous mamba.
Kills within, I think, easily within a minute.
Unless you get the treatment right away.
You take a knife and slash the crosshacks in your arm, and you have to suck out the venom and spit it out. And then anti-venom medication immediately injected. Yeah.
The mamba.
Yeah. That's a dance, too.
We won't wish the mamba on anyone today.
No, we won't. It is a dance, right? The mamba. You and I don't even know. This is ridiculous.
Zamba,
it's not the mamba. What's it called? I'm going to look like a fool. What is it? We're going to run out of time. You're going to have like 1,000 calls saying, wow, you guys are out of touch.
It's the mamba.
It's not the mamba.
Mumba.
No, it's not the mamba. This sounds like some African dance.
Yeah, we'll work on it and have it by the next time.
Yeah, right.
All right. Well, everyone, thanks for listening. May you be encouraged today. May you draw near to Him as He draws near to you, which is speaking about Father God, who loves you and cares for you. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns and Marianne Offenstein with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you. Have a great day and night.